But all right? Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, this is just what? To me. He found the place. I can see that ain't doing y'all like it done me. He found the place where it was written. Now I'm not trying, listen. Look up here at me just a minute. Don't leave here and say, Brother Edwards said the Bible meant something different. I'm just saying, in the beginning was the Word, and Word with God, and Word was God. Okay? Now, he'd done some quoting here in verse 18 and 19, and it comes out of Isaiah chapter number 61, verse 1. Okay? So, well, why didn't he just go to quoting it? What he did, listen to me, so you can go tell somebody that you want to be a blessing to. He's in front of a group of people that are probably strong Baptists, and they're waiting to critique everything he does and says. Now, if he just stood up there and went to quoting, they'd have said, like they've already said before, he's got the spirit of Beelzebub. Remember that? Only by the spirit of Beelzebub could he do all this. But he's got to prove more than that to them now. So he goes in there and does as they do, open the book, as any of the priests would have done, open the book, and found the place, and went to reading. But what he says next? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I'm going to pause right there. Remember what I just said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The other night, we had communion, and I felt led to read a chapter before we had communion. How many of y'all remember that? Book of Isaiah. Book of Hebrews. And chapter 9. And that thing had been burning on me for a couple of weeks. And I felt the same thing. Brother Jeff, Monday night, was sitting there. He said the same thing I felt. He said, I've read that a bunch of times. He said, but in the reading of that Sunday night, that Scripture was so powerful. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. When that book comes alive, you ain't reading just some one of them Harlan novel romances or whatever you call them things. That might not even be right. I don't know. Close enough, ain't it? You ain't reading Sports Illustrated. Amen. You're reading something with power on it. That's what's different, but Jeff.
It's
got power. I've sat at my table before, read my Bible. I couldn't tell how many times I sit there and whip.
Yep.
I've sat there, read my Bible at the table, read it to somebody, and me and them both sat there and wept. I'm telling you, most powerful book in the world.
Amen.
That's why it hated so.
Yes,
that's why they've done everything they could to change as much of it to take the powerful parts out, like the blood, the deity, the virgin birth. Things that, I mean, just stamp and seal, hallelujah, and make people mad because of the authority that it possesses. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us for a few minutes, Lord. God, take this text and use it for your glory, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Hide us behind the cross, God. I plead the blood of Christ. You know my feeble brain, God. You know my mind. You know my wickedness, God. Lord, you know how undeserving I am to stand here. But God, I pray you'd touch us, Lord, and help us. Bless your people tonight. Just come out. God, just for their faithfulness, just being faithful to you, Lord. I pray you bless them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We could preach just on that last verse I read right there, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And if we look at this text right here, we're going to have to, if you rightly divide it, you're going to have to do some things that most people just get all bent out of shape at, out because he's talking to some Jews. He's in the synagogue. He is at Nazareth. And he's not talking about the church. There'll be two times of his coming for the earth. He was born here. He came here and was born in Bethlehem. But he's coming back again. And it ain't for a birth. Amen. He's not coming back to be a baby. He's not coming back to heal the brokenhearted during that time. He's coming back because he said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I don't want to get into all that. I was thinking. I've been thinking ever since. And the lecture ain't made me think about this message, but it's just a parallel, Brother Garrett. It goes, ever since this, people have not been satisfied. They wouldn't have been satisfied if the other party would have won. It's just that there's always going to be somebody that's going to holler and squeal more than somebody else. I was watching a hog eating some food off the was floating on top of some water, and all of a sudden that hog didn't know it. That hog didn't know it, but this crocodile swims up there and without even realizing it, 6 1/2, and that big old crocodile come up out of the water and caught that hog, and I mean, it was on. I mean, that hog was squealing. I mean, just carrying on. Well, wouldn't you have been? Huh? Wake up and look at me just a minute. Hey, man, you can go sleep and get back to the house now, but I mean, I ain't talking to you. So that stuff she gets on, woo-wee. Well, how she drives that car, I'm getting out of the way. I mean, that car right there. But you know what the rest of them hogs was doing? They was standing on the bank just watching. I mean, that one hog, boy, I mean, he's just carrying on. He's fixing to die. That thing's going to drown him, and he's going to kill him. He's going to eat him. And the rest of them is saying, well, that's the way our society is today. When one's in trouble, not getting what they want, not being able to get away. I'm saying we're just living in some perilous times. Such a time as these. That's what I want to preach on if I could. Such a time as these. There's some needs in this hour. It might not seem like it to you just yet. These young fellows up here in the front row, they're not worried about things. They're not worried about Thanksgiving. And they're not worried about Christmas. They're just anticipating the day to hurry and get here. And they're excited about it, and they should be, amen. Their future's ahead of them, and all the worries and the troubles and the things that you're worrying over, and the things that y'all worry about and pray, they're not worried about them. They're not. I mean, they're on cloud nine. They just got married. They still got 30 years of honeymoon ahead of them, just like them. See, hold your hands up. Y'all hold your hands up. I mean, anybody else? Now, my wife ain't here. I'd have her hold her hand up. All right. Brother Gary, Tracy's trying to slip away from him and to get over there. Jonah blocked her off, bless his heart. But on this, such as in times like these, there's trouble. And there's heartaches and there's problems. And every news announcer, Paul, what's the woman's name? Paul, I feel so bad for the lady. I feel so bad. I wish she'd resign and keep her heart from hurting so bad. Megan Kelly, is that her name? Oh, yeah, I wish she'd just go ahead and resign. And that way she wouldn't be so sad about all this, Brother Mike. I mean, her heart's broken. Replace her with Trey Gowdy. Somebody say amen right there. And, boy, I tell you, you ain't never heard him preach. You need to hear him preach. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That was his message. All right. So what does it say? Look up. Amen. And so anyway, but in times like these, there's problems. There's problems. And if there's one thing that'll help us, there's number one, something that'll help you in times like this, is we need to hear from heaven. I mean, we need to hear from heaven. You say, well, we got a Bible. I know, but there wasn't always a Bible. And there was times when there was troubles, and there was times when there was need, there was times when there was necessities, and there were times like this, somebody still needed to hear from heaven. It might be because of the condition going on at your house. It might be because of health situations. I don't know. It might be finances. It might be you lost your job. I don't know, but in times like these, we need to hear good news from heaven. Matthew chapter number 3 and verse 17, he said, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was a voice from heaven. That helped people right there. Well, how do you think John felt when he heard it? If he heard it. I believe that helped anybody to hear from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. Hey, I'm well pleased with you, church. I'm well pleased with y'all going forward. I'm well pleased with the way you worship. I'm well pleased with the way you're faithful. I'm well pleased with the way you give. I'm just well pleased with a body of believers that love me so much. I believe the Lord would say this, Brother Gary, that love me so much that they'd be faithful day in and day out through sicknesses, through cold, through heat, through weariness. I just believe the faithfulness of man just makes the Lord happy. Makes the Lord happy. He said in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 5, he said the same thing. He said, this is my beloved Son. But this time, first time, is when he's been baptized. Second time, he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He said, hear ye him. Hear ye him. Is it hot in here, y'all? But Charles, you hot? This night's for you. I forgot to cut ears on. I'll guess what, y'all tell it. Amen. Amen. Get used to it, Brother Gary. We won't have it over there neither. Yeah, Brother Larry said, y'all helping me. Keep it up. I think you slip a jacket on back there. I mean, a good word, a good news from heaven. I mean, in times like these, that's what we need to hear. How about a good word from heaven like, comfort one another with these words. Amen. What kind of word is that? I'm coming. Yeah. I'm coming. Yeah. Is that not comforting? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I read in the Bible about somebody. I read about somebody that wanted to hear something from heaven, and I believe he did. Genesis chapter number 37, there was a young man, and that young man was over there. Man, I'm telling you, he was loved of his father. I mean, he was despised by his brothers, and he was loved by his father. But everything that happened, and I wondered about this thing. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Joseph. And I'm talking about the storms that Joseph went through in chapter 37. Right there, they sold him. Reuben, they wanted to kill him, but Reuben said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's put him in a pit. Right. And then whenever Reuben went back to the pit, he's gone because they done pulled him out and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And so I'm wondering if there's somebody that needed to hear some good news, a good word from heaven. Don't you think it was Joseph? Has any of you ever felt like you've been betrayed by your family? Any of you ever felt like you've been set all alone, set apart by your family? Maybe sold and put off into a pit? I mean, you might not be in that same hole, but you might live in a corner of your area where they won't come visit you. You might live in a place where they don't even want to call you and tell you to come by and see them no time. I'm just talking about Joseph had to be somebody that needed to hear from heaven. And I believe with all my heart, he waited on God to the place where he just kept praying and kept praying until one day he heard from heaven. So, wow, when did Joseph hear from heaven? I believe we heard from heaven when he got out of the pit. I believe, Brother Mike, I believe when they pulled him out of that pit. Chapter 37, when they pulled him out of that pit and sold him, he was on the road to the palace. Now, we don't like to think about it like this. It was a long road, Brother Dan. He needed to hear from heaven. And sometimes it takes a whole lot of prayer. Sometimes it takes some storms. Sometimes it takes some suffering. Sometimes it takes being alone. Sometimes it takes being betrayed. Sometimes it takes doing without. Sometimes it takes feeling like you're at the bottom and nobody cares. I'm just talking about sometimes that road's long and you can't figure it out.
Right.
Can't figure it out. But when he come out of that pit, he's on the road to the palace. He come out of that pit, he had no idea. He thought at the best I'm going to be a slave, at the best I'm going to be a servant. Can I ask you tonight, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being a servant? What's wrong with serving the Lord?
Amen.
Hey, what's wrong with serving others?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. I mean, if Jesus done it, can't you and I, if the Lord Himself would gird Himself and serve us one day, if the Lord Himself would break the bread and the fishes and bless it and feed a multitude of 5,000, hey, what's wrong with me and you stooping down to a place in our life? Hey, it don't bother me one bit. I'm telling you, we have something over there. It don't bother me to wait till last, and I'm not saying it for recognition. I'm just telling you, but Charles, I want to make sure you got something, and you got something. And if you don't, go eat it all. I don't care. I don't care. Thank God, I'll go to somewhere, Face Diner, and they feed me something. Amen. Face Mama fixed some salmon patties. Last night, them things were so good. Anybody here like salmon patties? Are we a dying breed? Salmon patties and ketchup? Oh. I'm saving some, especially for John Lynch. I told her, she says, well, there's a few left. I said, good, I'll make me a salmon patty sandwich tomorrow. She went, ugh. That's enough of that. Let me tell you something. Joseph needed to hear something from the land. Number two, he needed to hear something from heaven. But number two, we need to heal. We need someone to heal our broken hearts. You're going to tell me in this hour we live in, there ain't a bunch of broken hearts. And I ain't talking about foolish stuff. I think a lot of Christians go through a lot of stuff. And they're brokenhearted. And not all of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was test. Some of it was real trials, spiritual trials, spiritual testing, just to get us closer to God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 147, verse number 3, said, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. What I do with my other glasses? I can't hardly see here. Pay all that money for something I can't even see out of them. I will put duct tape over them. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18 says, The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, save as such as it is of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit, that's somebody that's broken. Brother Glenn, that's somebody that's just broken down and weeping and crying. I'm telling you, we need somebody to heal a broken heart. Who besides the Lord could do that? Who besides the Lord? Who besides the Lord could have helped Joseph? I mean, listen, me and you know nothing about that. But Darnell, we don't know nothing about our own fleshly brothers kicking off us down into a pit and saying, God bless you, walk away.
Right.
We don't know nothing about that. I mean, once in a while, you might be in here tonight, maybe once in a while, maybe you might have a brother quit talking to you or a sister quit talking to you. But they didn't put you in the ground. They didn't put you in a pit. They didn't want, and we don't know how long he stayed there. We know this, Brother Gary, he is alone. And it was time to pray. And I believe this, just as much as Joseph's daddy loves him, I believe he loved his daddy. Are you talking about a broken heart? And that old man needed something. Oh man, I'm telling you, he needed somebody that could help him. That boy needed somebody that could help him. And them brothers wasn't no help to him. The Bible said whenever they came back, chapter 41, I believe it is, whenever they came back, when Reuben come back, and they seen he is gone. He didn't know where he was. He said, What we going to do? And they killed a goat. And they took the blood of that goat and wrapped that boy's, wrapped that boy's jacket up and poured that blood all over that jacket and took that to his daddy. And his daddy held on to that bloody coat for years and years and years, thinking that that's where his son was. Oh, I'm telling you, there's sometimes we have a broken heart. We have a broken heart and we need somebody. We need somebody. I believe Joseph just kept praying. I believe he just kept praying. Say, what makes you think he kept praying? Because God answered his prayer. I mean, what's the chances? You ever heard of something like that? Nobody in the Bible there's more of a type of Christ than Joseph. I mean, over and over and over and over, Joseph this and Joseph that. And Joseph goes from the pit to the palace. I'm telling you, he goes to the presence of the king, and the king put everything in the country under his hand right there. It's exactly like the Lord. It's just like Christ. Amen. I'm saying there was a need of somebody healing those broken hearts. Not only that, not only they need to hear word from heaven, they need somebody to heal a broken heart. But we need a Savior to deliver us from a sin's captivity that we're facing in these times like these. Times like these, David. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much stuff you could preach under a topic like this. Are you listening to me? That you can't preach with children present. Put my glasses back on before I can see y'all in the back. Did you hear what I said? In times like these, there's so much that we could preach about sin's captivity that we can't preach with all these children present. I mean, what's accepted in this world this day? What this world is thriving on? What this world is feeding on? What this world wants? Do you know why they want that woman president? So they can enjoy their sin in public. That's what it is. They want. Listen. Hey, even dogs get out of the front yard. Somebody help me right here, please. I mean, even an old dog will go somewhere else at the front yard. But we're living in an hour, we're living in a society when they're on the street corners. I just watched a telecast the other day in Hawaii where the people was complaining to the news media because at the homeless shelter, out on the sidewalk, in front of the homeless shelter. You tell me this ain't a sick society? I mean, if there's something that we need right now in this hour is here. Sin's captivity has a hold on America and on every other country in this world. If there's something that we need, it's a deliverer to get us out of here. Boy, I sure thank God we got one, don't you? I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord Himself is coming. He ain't sending nobody. He said the Lord Himself. I'm telling you, he's gonna shout one day, and we're getting out of here, and they can do what they want to with it, and I don't care what they do on Bambi Drive, hallelujah. They can tear it up, spin their wheels, I don't care, put up signs, invite the wicked, but they thank God I'm gonna be gone, I'll be gone. Thank God, in times like these, we need a Savior to deliver us from sin's captivity. Times like these. All these verses I've read out of Psalms. I can't help but think about David. If David, any of these things fit anybody, it's David. David knew about being captured by sin. David knew about a broken heart. David knew about needing a good word from heaven. Just like you and I. Amen. Psalm chapter 71, verse number 4 says, "Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous, the cruel man." Let me say, before David ever got all in places, he made a statement. Before you ever got there, Brother Darnell, before you ever got to worrying about being taken out of that place because of wicked people,
before he ever got to the place where he was worried about sin's captivity, David made a statement. And that statement just stood with him and stood with him and stood with him. And people used it, brother. People have they've adapted it. When they die, they put it on that little paper. You know that little paper that they pass out at the funerals and, you know, tell them about their age and everything. And they would put it on there. And David had something he stood on and he stayed with it. And you and I need it. And thank God I got it tonight. I got it. Hallelujah. When the storms get dark and I'm telling you the skies get gray and the battle gets on and I'm getting to thinking there ain't nothing I can do but just stand back and pray and ask God to help me out of this circumstance. In times like these, there ain't nobody else. I thank God. And all of a sudden it seems like the Holy Ghost will just bring to your mind, hey, I thought the Lord was your shepherd.
Amen.
Hey, I remember that night when I made Him my shepherd. The Lord, He is my shepherd. I shall not walk. Thank God. I can lean on Him. I can depend on Him. He'll dig me out of the pit. He'll set me back on the road. And one day He'll do for me what His Father done for Him. Because He told me I am a joint heir with Christ. What about that?
Amen.
What about that? Sometimes we forget about the benefits of being a joint heir. I know people that own property right up to the river. Right up to the banks. But Jeff, you know that man owns that property right up to the St. Mary's, don't he? And there's been so many others that's owned property right up to the edge of St. John's. Bought that land at high dollar cost. And they, no doubt, they must have had some money. It was some real good credit. They couldn't have bought it. But one day, we're going on the river. The property that goes to it. And the river. Say, so how do you figure that? It blows him. I got a couple of pecan trees that refuse to make pecans. They try. I guess I'm just not putting the right stuff to them. I put 10, 10, 10 on them. Pray for water. Put a little potash around them. And they still ain't very successful. But they're real young. They're producing a little fruit, but they're real young. But when they get the age of your pecan tree, maybe they'll pay taxes for somebody or something like that. Amen. You never can tell. Amen. They'd be good for that, wouldn't they?
Amen.
You act like you know what I'm talking about, right? Man, praise the Lord. But at that time, there's trees there, Brother Gary, that bear 12 manner of fruit. And they're going to be mine. Hallelujah. Amen. I say, it ain't helping you like it helped me. That's my trees. Say, no, they're not yours. They belong to God. No, God gave everything to the Son. The Son said, I'm doing everything to Him, so they belong to me too. I'm just telling you tonight, thank God in times like these, we need an encouraging word. Because the devil's trying to knock you out of the saddle, trying to put you to sleep. He's trying to take your joy. He's trying to steal your victory. Thank God. Remember that we're but dust, because He does. Quit trying to be so stinking perfect and holy. Act like you're better than everybody else.
Amen.
Have compassion on sinners.
Yeah,
well, there's about six of you looked at me like I just cussed the Pope. I'm just talking about not being pharisaical, brother.
Amen.
I'm sick of that kind of stuff. Y'all have heard me talking about that a lot lately because you know why? Because I'm sick of it.
Amen.
We're living in a world in times like these, religion dominates.
Yeah.
But salvation is scarcely seen.
Amen.
Amen. A little old girl, Chris. Her name was Chris, and she come by there a while ago. You've seen her.
Yeah.
I got no idea who that girl was. She said, I want to call somebody and just tell them a good word. I got word that a prayer is going to be answered. That's what she told me. A praise report is what she called it. You know, That's the religious terminology. You say, well, I wouldn't listen to that. I know, because you're pharisaical.
Yep.
Amen. I might have to unbuckle my belt in case you want to run up here. I have to whip you with it. Amen. We've let the Pentecostals.
Yeah.
We have let every denomination of religion suppress us. Am I right, Brother Leo? We're to the point we're scared to say amen and line up Walmart. And you better know. You better don't get behind me. Don't get behind me. I'll get in line at Walmart. The Holy Ghost put me there, witness somebody. I'm a witness to them.
Amen.
I ain't been a time yet. I go up there and I buy supplies for. I'm at the times like these. I buy supplies for the bus ministry. I'll have a buggy full, which we need. I'm glad you mentioned that, Lord. Thank you. Anybody wants to purchase, we need biscuits and we need sausage before Sunday. If you can purchase some, that'll be a blessing. Amen. And what else we need? Toilet paper and hand towels. Amen. Either one of them be a blessing. Amen. You ain't been to mine. I can see that. All right. And so anyway, ain't been a time I've stood in line, Brother Charles, at Walmart and have a buggy full of biscuits and sausage and Capri Suns and all that stuff, says the Lord. And somebody said, what in the world are you doing with all that stuff? I said, let me tell you about it. And there'd been a few times that God let me get in line by some folk that wasn't Baptist. I knew they wasn't. I don't know how they operate in North Georgia. But South Georgia, you know how they operate in South Georgia. I stand in line one day, and I saw this little older black gentleman standing. He said, son, what do you do with all that stuff out there? I said, we feed children that we bring to church on Sunday morning. And he checked himself out, and before he walked away, he pulled money out of his wallet. He said, here. He said, let me put some money toward that.
Amen.
And you find out who he was? Didn't care who he was, Brother Michael.
Yeah.
Wasn't about that. He might not even been real. Well, if you'd read your Bible a little bit, you'd know what that meant right there. Amen. Might have just been entertaining an angel unaware. Huh? So you believe that? Just as sure as you're sitting here. Just as sure as you're sitting here. You believe you're saved? Well, amen. I believe I am too. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Listen, times like these,
yes, sir.
There's one thing we need. We need to hear from heaven.
Amen.
We need somebody to fill our broken hearted, our broken hearts, because we're going to have them. The old family over there this week, yesterday, I don't know what the names were, but the day that dad stepped off into eternity, chasing somebody. Chasing somebody. And I guarantee you that little six-year-old daughter, I think it was. I don't care how close she is to God. Listen to me. Listen to me before you get real pharisaical. Six-year-old children don't understand that kind of stuff. Six-year-old kids don't understand that stuff. Babies don't understand that kind of stuff. Something happened to her daddy, she wouldn't understand all that. She wouldn't understand that stuff. It's hard enough for me and you to get it. Am I right? Brother Leo's mama was 102 years old when she passed away. And you know what I watched? You know what I watched Sister Libby do? Knowing it was coming, waiting on her hand and foot for a couple of weeks up in Brunswick. And when that woman drew her last breath and exhaled, I watched her fall apart and just weep and cry. Because I'm telling you, it's just hard for us to grasp that. You think that little six-year-old girl will understand that?
No.
Now, pharisaical, religious, I hate to use the word Christians, because that's an oxymoron when you see pharisaical, religious, and then Christians. Such a time as these, we need a Savior. We need a Savior that can help break the chains of sin that hold us in captivity.
Amen.
You say, does it hold you, Brother Edward? It holds every one of us. I'll just admit it. You won't. When you think you've arrived, let's sit down and I'll just take my Bible. You can take your Bible and I'll see where you fall short too. I'll just go ahead and tell you I fall short. This is a wicked brain right here. Thank God for the redeeming day when He calls us home. And this thing will be purged for the last. I mean, it'll be gone, Brother Darnell. Won't have those fiery darts going through it no more. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. It'll be over. The battle will be complete. The victory will be won. And for the next 7 years, we'll stand before the King. So what we're going to do during that 7 year time, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all the things, not your sin, your works, all the stuff you could have done and didn't do. I'm telling you, that's going to hang heavy on us right there. Stuff that we could have done and didn't do. Whatever, it's going to be brought out there. All the questions, all the accusations, all the people that said, I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do. When I see the Lord, I'm going to ask Him about it. Well, can I break that down? Can I bring that to the house? Mind if I bring that to the house? How many times have we seen, how many of us have seen somebody living in sin that said there's a Christian and they made us mad? And we said, if I was the Lord, well, thank God you ain't, so quit trying to be. Quit trying to be. Just let God be God. Amen. One of the holiest preachers I've ever met had been poked at and made so much fun of. And I'm telling you, I've heard him preach. Two messages, I think. One of them was many years ago, and it was so cold I couldn't remember. I couldn't even pay attention to what he was preaching on. I'm honest. I was so cold. It was outside in Missouri. I couldn't remember that one in Missouri. It was so cold that night. They stopped services. It then got down below 40s. Was outside. And I think the wind was blowing at about 115 miles an hour. My teeth was chattering one against another. But I heard him testify over in Folkestone. I don't know if y'all was there then or not. Brother Don Green. You remember that? You remember him testifying? About when him and his wife got married and all his kids? I'm telling you the truth. God bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, Brother Jeff. I sit there and wept the whole time he testified. Next time you hear somebody testify for 45 minutes and you just sit there and weep, you better know this. Them people have been with God. He's a holy man. He's been made fun of. I'm telling you, in times like this, the church is under attack, Brother Glenn. If there's anything, if there's anything at all with the attack that's been placed on the church and on the Christians of this hour, if there's anything at all, you better make sure your family stays in church. You better make sure your children, you say they're not understanding, but they're learning to come. They're just learning. Remember how your dad used to teach y'all? By just bringing in. And it didn't matter who was sick, did it? Did it matter? I'm telling you, I've seen Daddy say, son, if you was that sick, you wouldn't have been out playing ball 45 minutes
ago. Mm-hmm.
Daddy was a doctor, and I didn't know it.
Yeah, amen.
He was a psychologist, psychiatrist, principal, and whatever else he needed to be. In times like these, you know what I'm thankful for? We do have a Savior. Hey, listen, Thanksgiving time. Let's just be thankful. Next time the devil tempts you to complain, don't let him win. Be thankful. Be thankful. Because in the end time, people are going to be unthankful and unholy. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Let's be thankful. Let's be the opposite of what this last generation is seeing. Because this is probably the end of us right here. I believe Jesus is coming, Brother Charles. I believe He's coming. I believe He's coming soon. They're worried about Social Security running out. And they make me worry when they talk about running out. But then I sober up right quick. I'm like, who cares? I can be here. The Lord's coming to take us home. And then I don't care if I run out or not. Amen. Say, that's selfish. No, they should have got saved. Everybody you know, if you're any kind of a dedicated church member at Camden Baptist Church, you have witnessed to every person that you know and love about being saved. And if they've refused it, it ain't your fault. So they're going to die and go to hell. They should have got saved. They should have got saved. So that's hard-hearted. I don't know no other way to put it. We've done what we could. Let's all stand together. In times like these.